Part 19 John Turner's Principles. Principle: that light which convinces a man of sin was a wicked conscience. Answer: the wicked conscience does not convince of sin, then Satan were divided against Satan. What does convince of sin is not wicked nor sin, but it is the Spirit of God, the light of Christ Jesus, that convinces of sin, and the elect have faith, and where faith is, there is obedience. The Ranter's Principles. Principle: Christ without comes to destroy Christ within. Answer: Christ is but one, and it is the devil that he destroys and his works, the Antichrist and not the true Christ, who is the true seed in male and female. And it is the false Christ he destroys in the male and female, and he comes to end the types and figures and shadows that people might live in him, the end of the types and figures and shadows, the substance. Principle: and the woman that Paul speaks of that is forbidden to speak in the church, but must learn of her husband at home, is the whore that drinks the blood of the saints in Revelations. Answer: that is false. For the woman the apostle speaks of there, that must learn in silence, and must be in subjection, and ask her husband at home, is in the state of Eve, who must not teach, but learn in silence, as also said the law, for she was first found in the transgression. Now the woman here has a husband to ask at home, and she is not to usurp authority over the man. But Christ in the male as in the female, who redeems from under the law and makes free from the law, may speak, Christ in the male and female who are in the Spirit of God, who are not under the law. But the whore who drinks the blood of the saints is gone from her husband from under the law to ask the whoremaster that does drink the blood of the saints, which Christ the seed judges, upon whom he gives judgment. Principle: and the outward creatures which God has made and created and blessed are the serpent's meat. As the old Ranter of Bristow, when he was gnawing a piece of plum pudding, said he was eating the serpent's meat. Answer: the serpent's food is dust, and he goes on his belly, and so he has proved himself to be a serpent, who eats his food, which the children of God, the seed, do not, and Christ, who ate of the bread, did not eat the serpent's meat. He did not call it serpent's meat, and that which does so is cursed and judged. Francis Duke's book, entitled The Fullness and Freeness of God's Grace. His principles are as follow. Principle: God made man perfection of parts in this life, but not perfection in degrees. Answer: perfection of parts is perfection of degrees, for where there is a part, there is a degree, so in this you meddle with things that are too heavy for you. Principle: that God did elect that drop of human seed to be personal God-man, as the text is, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Answer: the elect is Christ, the seed. Christ the second Adam is not human, for human is earthly, so you err in your judgment, for as Christ the seed says, he who is born of the flesh is flesh, and he who is born of the spirit is spirit. And the election obtains it, and he who is of the earth is earthly, but he who is from above is heavenly. Principle: men may obey imperfectly, but truly. He makes imaginary distinctions in hopes of maintaining his illusion of being a Christian. Answer: truth is perfect. Christ, who is perfect, is truth, and they who obey truly obey perfectly, for perfect obedience and true obedience are one. Principle: the seed of the serpent and the devil's seed remains in the best of men in this life, for without this seed of the devil issuing in human nature, it is not capable of eternal life. So, according to this guy's outlandish statement, the devil is responsible for us being able to attain eternal life, which is totally contrary to scripture that says Christ brings eternal life, and the devil has the power of death, which devil and death Christ destroys. By serpentine lies, the man twists the scripture to justify the devil's seed remaining in him. Thinking himself to be the best of men, he cannot imagine it possible for anyone to be more perfect. The fleshly pride of Babylon's ministers stretches their imaginations to ridiculous conclusions. Answer: this seed of the devil hinders men from being capable of eternal life, and such as were sanctified from the womb were capable of eternal life. And such as were made free from sin and the body of death and sin put out of them, could not sin, because the seed of God remained in them and Christ in them, who witnessed redemption and the works of the devil destroyed, and Christ manifested in their flesh, who condemned sin in their flesh, the body being dead because of sin. They who were born of God did not commit sin, they were passed from death to life. For sin brought death, and the devil which went out of the truth had the power of it, but the seed has destroyed death, and him that has the power of it, which is the devil. And God, the God of all peace, has bruised Satan under the saints' feet. Such are atop of the seed of the devil, and they are capable of eternal life, and tell you your doctrine is a lie. Principle, man may believe truly, but never rightly. This man seeks to confuse with distinctions that do not exist. Answer, he who believes truly and is in the true belief believes rightly. And he who believes truly is born of God, and he whose belief is false is not born of God. It is as his belief that is out of the truth, which is not right, and the true belief in truth is over him, in that the devil is out of, and all his generation that stand in an outward belief. Principle, the will of man remains in good men and bad men in heaven, and in hell and on earth. Answer. No prophecy of the scriptures came by the earthly will of man, but man's will must be subdued, and denied with the cross and power of God, whereby he who does the will of God abides forever. But he that does his own will abides not ever, and flesh and blood enter not into the kingdom of God, and they who go down into hell go down in their own wills and willfulness. But man must be born again before he can enter into God's kingdom. He who is born of the flesh is flesh, and will persecute him that is born after the Spirit, for there are the two wills, and earth is their footstool. Principle, the saints affirm themselves that they are all unclean things, and their righteousness as filthy rags. Answer. The saints are clean, and are sanctified, and are washed, and are cleansed. Now are you clean, said the Lord, you are such and such. And the saints' righteousness is Christ, such as never will grow ragged, which was before the world was made, which was before rags and ragged righteousness was. This is the saints' and true believers' righteousness, and the saints are not unclean things, for it is the unsanctified that are unclean. Principle. The saints have a twofold righteousness in this world. Answer. The righteousness of the saints is one in Christ, and is one in God from where all righteousness comes, and the true believer's righteousness is Christ Jesus, the end of the law. Principle, you say that James envies those that brag of their faith without works, and say, the Lord attributes that to the eye, which is not proper. The eye is the light of the body, but yet the eye has no light in itself to enlighten the body. So he attributes that to the eye which is proper to the light. James doesn't envy those who brag of their faith without works. He tries to wake them from the pretended Christianity. Works of the law, such as washings, sacrifices, rituals, ceremonies, etc., count for nothing, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision benefits anything except faith, which is energized and demonstrated by works, thus operating through love. Gal 5:6. Answer. James did not envy, for envy was of Cain, and of the devil, and of the wicked one. He did not envy those whose faith was dead without works. And Christ's speech was proper, who said the light of the body was the eye, and without the eye the body has not light, look at it, either inward or outward. It is proper within and proper without, for when the eye is blinded within, the body is full of darkness. When the eye is blinded without, the body is dark, and it wants the light. And the light of the body is the eye, that being single, the body is full of light, and that is perfect. Principle. That God redeems his church with his blood, yet bleeds not. Answer. Here again you make imagined distinctions with the apostles' words, and you pervert the scriptures, which correct you. The apostle speaks of the blood of God and the blood shed, and the conscience sprinkled with the blood. Principle. Justifying faith, simply considered in itself as to justification of a sinner, is but a dark body till it has received Christ and his righteousness. Answer. Where justification and justifying faith are, there Christ and his righteousness are felt, for he is the justification. And this is not a dark body, neither justifying faith nor justification of a sinner, but you are the dark body that has so judged, for it is all one. Principle. It is but perfection of parts, not of degrees, that people attain to. Beware you dream not that you attain to perfection of degrees, as the Quakers do, for when you so think of yourselves, that is the hour and power of darkness, and you fall into temptations and abominations. Answer. Where perfection is in parts, there are degrees, and what is perfect keeps out of darkness, out of the temptation and abomination. He who speaks of perfection of parts and not of degrees does not know what he speaks of, but is in a dream and in the hour of temptation and the power of darkness, and in the temptation and abomination, and does not know what he speaks of. For perfection of parts is perfection of degrees. Principle. The saints' inherent righteousness is but imperfection of parts as filthy rags. Answer. Where do you read of the word inherent righteousness? But the righteousness of Christ wrought in us is not filthy rags, but what you pretend to work in yourself by dreaming imaginations is filthy rags and not the true righteousness of Christ, which is without rags. but where do you read of inherent righteousness but of your father the Pope? Principle. Job had too high esteem of his uprightness wrought by the Spirit of Christ in him, who also assisted him to perfect patience. Answer: A man cannot have too high an esteem of uprightness, wrought by the Spirit of Christ in him, which will assist to perfect patience, and thus you confound yourself. Principle: If Job had hanged himself, he might have said in this case, "It is not I but my deep distemper which strangled me." Answer: You wicked liar, of your father the devil, the murderer, had Job consented to the wicked one with his mind to have done this thing, then it had been Job. And this is not comparable to Paul's state. He said, "It was no more he, but sin that dwelt in him, who did not consent with his mind." So you are no true measurer, but a false measurer, to say it had been the infirmity of the members, but not Job. Yet there is the eye which was before the word Job was, which the devil has nothing in. So both you and your measure are judged according to scriptures, which came not by the will of man, which are of no private interpretation. It is not longer I who sin, but the sin that remains in me, Rom 7:17. Many Christians use this as their excuse for remaining in sin, but Paul is talking about the start. He then says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so he was delivered from sin. All men are in this state before the Spirit of God mortifies the sin in them. But heed, you do have control of your hands and feet. You can stop your feet from pursuing evil, and you can stop your hands from reaching for evil. You can't control your mouth and your thoughts until the Lord makes the changes in you, but beware, you must cease your practices of immorality that you are under your control. You can't control your eyes from looking at a woman with lust the first time, but you can decide to not look the second time. The Lord sees your efforts or lack of efforts, and he therefore knows the sincerity of your seeking. If you are insincere, without having turned from evil the best you can, he will know it and give you little help. If you are fortunate, he will remind you of your hypocrisy. If you are not, he will ignore you. You who have been in Christendom sects, thinking you have God's approval, even when you deliberately sin, are particularly challenged to overcome your lack of fear and turn from evil. But you must, or you will never progress. Principle: That the written scripture is a more sure word of prophecy than the excellent speech from heaven to Jesus upon the mount, as your quaking doctrines teach, which are bottomed upon the light within, which what it is, neither you nor any man else know. This man has just stated that written scripture is better than hearing the Father speak from heaven. How sad is his void in understanding of God. He loves a book, while disregarding whom the book points to. The scriptures in question are as follows. 17 For he received honor and glory from God the Father, when a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 18 And we heard this voice that came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mount. 19 And so like we heard God's voice from heaven on the mount, we have the more sure prophetic word, the word in your heart, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. 20 Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. 21 For prophecy in old times did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the prophetic word that you hear also comes from the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:17-21 Answer. The voice that spoke upon the mount and the excellent speech were the same, and was to those who gave forth the scriptures. Now the written scriptures many may have, and deny the spirit of prophecy, and know not the light shining in the dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in their hearts. Which is the Quaker's light within, which you say neither you nor any man else knows what it is? Then why do you judge of things you do not know? We do believe that your darkness cannot comprehend it, though it shines in the darkness. But where light has shined out of darkness and shines in the heart, it gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And all that are in the light and walk in it have fellowship one with another, and know what light is, and come to the life Christ from where the light comes, which you nor no man can know what it is, who are ravened from the Spirit of God, and so know not Christ the light. Principle: The scripture is the ground of faith. No, the ground of faith must be authored by revelation from Jesus Christ, for faith comes by hearing the word of God that is in your heart and mouth, so you may obey it, which is the word of faith preached by the apostles. Faith without revelation is faith in a book, not faith in God. Answer. The ground of faith was before Scripture was written. God and Christ Jesus were the givers of faith and the authors of it. As Abel, Enoch, and Abraham had faith before what you call your ground of faith was written. But I say the Scripture is able to make wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, who is the author of it. You go about to lay another ground than God and Christ Jesus, that gave forth to those who spoke forth the Scriptures of truth. Principle, you call a light within, and tell us it is God's word, and call the thing everlasting word, and spiritual king, and Christ, and this lie is the ground of your faith. Answer. The word is light, and Christ is light, and the everlasting word, and king. And he rules the hearts of the saints, and is in the midst of his church, and dwells in his people, and he makes his abode in them, and all that are not in this are in the lie, and are not on the true foundation, Jesus Christ. Principle. When Christ told the devil, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that was believing the Scriptures. And this, the word of God and the Scriptures, was the ground of Christ's faith, and so to all that were his. Is Christ so imprecise as to say, word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, while really meaning Scriptures? No, he was very careful to distinguish the word from Scripture. 37 And the Father himself, who has sent me, has testified concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. 38 And you do have not his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. 39 You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. 40 But you will not come to me, that you might have life. John 5:37-40. Answer. Many may have the Scriptures, and never hear the voice of God, as the Jews in the 5th of John. They said they believed the Scriptures, though they were out of the true belief. But receiving the word from God, as they did that gave forth the Scriptures, is what man lives by, and not by bread alone, and so knows him which was before Scripture was given forth. And as for saying that the Scripture is the ground of Christ's faith, he was before the Scripture was written and fulfills their words, and is the author and finisher of the saints' faith, which was before the Scripture was given forth. He by whom the world was made is the author of the saints' faith, that bruised the serpent's head under his feet, before Scripture was. Principle. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was personally God-man, simply created nothing, yet you would have your light called Christ to be a creator. Answer. God was in Christ, and they are one, the Creator, the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father, and Christ in you, and God in Christ, the Creator, the Maker of all things. And God will dwell in the saints as the Creator. He creates in them right minds, new hearts, new spirits, gives them understanding and knowledge to know him, which is eternal life and wisdom, to walk in his ways which are perfect. Where God's dwelling is in saints, there is light, and they have fellowship one with another in it, and with the Son and the Father. Principle, that although the essence of God be within, yet it no way conducts to the happiness of man. The kingdom of God stands in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The saints rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever, patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance, kindness, including morality and integrity, goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility, and self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Gal 5:19-23. Obviously, this man knows nothing of the kingdom, sainthood, or the fruit of the Spirit because he is not happy. Answer. Man feels not the happiness unless he is in the power of God, in which he has communion with him, and you speak about what you do not know. Principle. John said he had heard and handled Christ and looked upon him, but your idol Christ, your light and everlasting word, you say is within, so that neither you nor any man else can say what it is, except by whimsies. Answer, you who have not handled, seen, nor heard Christ, nor felt him within, are in the idol's whimsies and blasphemy. For we witness that Christ, and have handled him, and seen him, and heard him, and know the everlasting word and him within, which torments you and your ground and your seed because he cannot reign. But Christ is come to take possession, to destroy him and his works and reign, and none see this but they who own the light within, which comes from Christ the King. Principle. By letters and witness without, we will oppose your lying light within, there to maintain, against the best men whatsoever, your light within is a lie, for you say the light within is Christ. I deny the scriptures bear witness to your light within, which is your idol, and this word of God within to be no more nor less than a lie. The man is sounding desperate, resorting to much bravado in an attempt to discredit what the scriptures plainly state. But what did it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth, and in your heart so you may obey it. That is the word of faith which we preach. Rom 10:8 For this command that I command you this day is not hidden from you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. Deuteronomy 30:10-14 I have retained your word, spoken commands in my heart that I might not sin against you. PSA 119:11 The sower sows the word. Some are the people along the path where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Mark 4:14-16 And the Father himself, who has sent me, has testified concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you do have not his word abiding in you. John 5:37-38 Answer. The scripture bears witness to the light within, for I know that is your work, and the devil's, who is out of the light and the truth, to oppose it, who rules in the children of disobedience, but cannot rule in the children of light. And the scripture said, Christ in you, and God will dwell in you. He is light, and they are light. The light that shines in your hearts, to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And this the scripture bears witness to, as in 2 Cor 4:6. And the word is near you, in your heart, and in your mouth, Rom 10:8. And as for all the rest of your stuff and confused parcel of ignorance in your book, as this before mentioned, it is not worth setting pen to paper, but for the sake of the simple ones it is given forth. For the day has appeared that all your works are seen and come to the light. Praises and glory to the Lord God in the highest, forever. In the day of your fullness you have been in the mischief of iniquity, but in the day of your poverty, when the witness of God stirs and rises in you, and judgment enters upon you, then remember, when your works burn and you are in the fire, what you did in the world, in your lifetime, against the saints and the elect, and spoke of things you could not know nor weigh, but which were too heavy for you, and how you acted against the light of Christ within, which would have led you to salvation. Enoch Howitt of Lincoln, his principles are as follows in his book which he calls, The Doctrine of the Light Within, Principle, I have taken upon me as my duty to forewarn all men of their doctrine that teach men to look at the light within them. Answer. We do believe you. Here you are not only Antichrist, but anti-apostle, that is, against him who taught people to look to the light within them, and told those who the light shined in their hearts to give them, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And this is the doctrine which you forewarned all men of, and say it is your duty. So you may see who you serve, that turn men from light, and warn people of the apostles' doctrines. So that all may judge what you turn them to, and whose duty you are doing, and whose messenger and minister you are. Those who are in the fear of God see you. Principle: To look to the light within is to look at the deceitful heart, and it will offer you darkness for light. And it is evident, if you look to what you call the light within, it brings you to take counsel of a corrupt heart, the prince of the air, the prince of darkness. Answer: The light that shines in the heart that your darkness cannot comprehend is not the prince of darkness, nor the prince of the air, nor the deceitful, corrupt heart, but by the light within all is discovered and made manifest, for it is the light within that discovers a man's thoughts and the counsels of man's heart. And Christ within is light. And the apostle told the Corinthians, examine themselves, and prove themselves, and know themselves, how that Jesus Christ was in them except they were reprobates. Now where Christ is within, there is light. Now reprobates cannot endure to hear it talked of within, but call it blasphemy, corrupt heart, and deceitful heart, etc. And the apostle told the saints that God would write his law in their hearts, and put it in their minds, and the law is light. And God would dwell in them and walk in them, and where God is, there is light, and in him there is no darkness, and the saints are his temple. And this doctrine of the light within, it is your work and ministry to warn all men against. Principle: To look at the light within leads men to look at a judgment here in this life, and to take off men from eternal judgment. Answer: None see the judgment in this life, nor the eternal judgment, but with the light within, for the light makes manifest what must be judged and what must not. Oh, that you should be so blind, and they who judge themselves shall not be judged. Principle. The people who depended upon light within fell into shameful enormities, and when they pretended the light within, they pretended an angel of light, which cozens us, which at the best is but a broken cistern. The Ephesians were sometimes darkness. Answer. They are the broken cisterns that cannot hold the water of life, and they are under the pretended angel of light, that deny the light of Christ within. And shameful enormities are out of the light which makes manifest all those things. And though the Ephesians were darkness, yet the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. John 1:5. Principle: the light within draws from the expecting of the assurance of Christ, by working in our hearts, the children of disobedience, so that we wait not upon God for assurance, but to trust to the light within. Now he admits they are children of disobedience with nothing but an assurance from Christ. He reads Scripture and thinks he has a guarantee to escape hell, but his assurance is prophesied by Isaiah as a false. Because you have said, "We have made a covenant with death, and we are in agreement with hell." When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge and have hidden ourselves under falsehood. And your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trodden down by it. Isaiah 28:15-18, he admits they are children of disobedience and refuses the opportunity to become a child of the light, which Scripture supports in several books. While you have light, believe in the light that you may become the children of light. John 12:36, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. F5:8, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, for the people of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the children of light. Luke 16:8, woe be to him. Answer. None come to the assurance of Christ Jesus, but they who come to the light that shines in their hearts, which Christ Jesus has enlightened them with, which is the way to him. None come from under the power of the prince of the air out of the disobedience to the thing they had disobeyed, but they who come to the light within, which shines in their hearts, which gives them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And none know the working of Christ but by the light within. Principle. When they were pricked in their hearts, the apostle did not told them look to the light within them. Answer. Did not the apostle tell them repent? And was not there something in those who did give them to understand their transgression that they might repent and come to receive remission for their sins by Christ the light, who lights every man that comes into the world, which light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, which light gives the light of the knowledge of God in the heart, and what pricks them is within them. Principle. To look at the light within puts us by the experience of the created word. Answer. The light within brings to look at Christ, whose name is called the Word of God, by whom all things were created, and the light within gives experience of him, which is beyond all created experiences that are changeable, and the Scripture does not tell us of the created Word. Notice how they make up terms that sound very lofty, but are beneath the earth. Principle. To follow the light within the natural man, that is said to lead to perfection, draws from and puts us from waiting upon the commands of God. Answer, no natural man comes out of his natural state to perfection, to know the commands of God. What discovers all these things him is the light within, which comes from Christ, and brings him know the covenant of God. They who are kept from the light within are kept from perfection, and the commands of God, and the covenant of God and Christ. Principle, there can be no reproof for breaking of a law if it were not written. Answer, Adam broke the law before it was written and was reproved. Principle. Light within and watching in that light to bring us to perfection will be a vain watch. Answer. None see perfection nor come to the true watch but they who come to the light within, which does manifest what must be stood against and not received. And all watches are vain that are not in the light within, for they will put evil for good and good for evil, darkness for light and light for darkness, that watch not in the true light that shines in their hearts, which makes manifest. Principle, let us leave leaning on the light within for direction. Answer. Then you turn yourselves from the apostles' doctrine, the light that shines in your hearts, to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. 2 Cor 4:6, and you turn into darkness from what should give you the knowledge. Principle. To look to the light within draws us from, or puts us past the blood of the new covenant and the application of it. To walk in the light as he is in the light results in the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. 1 John 1, 7. And so the light does not put us past the blood of the new covenant, but rather allows us to secure the promise his blood allows, which is to be freed from all sin and become children of the light. Answer. He who sees the new covenant, Christ Jesus, to Jews and Gentiles, the covenant of light, which enlightens every man that comes into the world, and the blood of it, he who sees this, his eye is opened, and he is a believer. For he who sees the blood of Christ and his righteousness, and comes to the blood of Christ who has enlightened him, comes to life. And no one comes to life but he who comes to the light which Christ has enlightened him withal. For in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, though all things were made by him. And they who live in the darkness hate the light and do not believe in it, and so they are condemned by the light. Principle, that this doctrine, the light within, draws us from Christ. Answer. None come to Christ, nor are drawn unto Christ, but by the light, and that is within, and gives them to know what they are come from, and what they are come to, for it gives them the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Answer. As for all your other works of darkness in your book, they are not worth mentioning. But as to whose messenger he is, the day does bring him to light. The witness of God and his conscience shall answer in the day of his condemnation and judgment, who is under the spiritual wickedness, and in whom are the high places of it, who stands against and denies the doctrine of the light within. The saints and apostles have judged him to be a messenger of Satan, a false apostle, a minister of unrighteousness, out of the light, the truth, as you may read in the Corinthians. For the true messengers, ministers, and apostles of Christ Jesus, made by the will of God, brought people to the light within that shines in their hearts, and told them that the light would give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Priest Ferguson's principles as follows, who is a teacher in Kent, confessed to Ambrose Rigg. Principle, that the scripture was the law and testimony. Answer, this is contrary to the scripture, for the scripture said, the law is light, Prov 6:23, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the law and testimony were before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the epistles and revelations were written, as in Isaiah 8. Principle. That the scripture is the rule of life and doctrine, and that it was the word of God. Answer. Adam, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, and the holy men of God had a rule for their lives before the scripture was written. The spirit was the rule of their lives that led saints to speak forth scripture. And they that have the scripture, and not the spirit of Christ, are none of his, and the Jews had scripture, but wanted the rule of life. Nevertheless, the scripture which was given forth from the Spirit of God is profitable for doctrine, and the scriptures of truth are the words of God, learned of God, and not the word. And Christ, who was before the scriptures were given forth, by whom the world was made, is the word of God, who fulfilled the words. The scriptures end in him, who was before they were spoken forth. Principle, that the scripture is the way to God, and that the scripture was the ground of faith. Answer. The ground of faith is Christ. The apostle tells the saints look to him, who was the author and finisher, not to the scripture, but to Christ the author of their faith, the ground of it. And Abraham and Enoch and Abel had faith before scripture was written, so they who have faith are of Abraham and they witness Abraham's ground. And the Jews had scriptures, but had not faith nor the ground, so your faith that has no other ground but the scriptures is like unto the Jews. And Christ is the way to God, who was before the scriptures were written, who fulfills the prophets, Abraham and David's words. The Jews had scriptures, but stood against Christ Jesus the light, the way to God, as all you do that stand against the light. Abraham and Abel and Enoch had the way to God before the scripture was written, and Christ Jesus is the way to God. Christ said, I am the way, to the Jews who had the scriptures. Principle, that there is no perfection to be attained to while people live upon earth. Answer. Then by your doctrine Christ is not attained to while man lives, which is contrary to the apostles and Christ's own doctrine, who said, I in you, and you in me, and Christ in you the hope of glory. And then none abide in the vine by your account, which is Christ, and none bear fruit to the glory of God who abide not in the vine, and who abide in the vine, abide in the perfection of God. And you are contrary to the ministers of Christ, whose work was for the perfecting of the saints. Principle. That justification and sanctification differs. This man, like most Protestants, thinks he is justified because he believes, but of course he is not based on what Paul and James have said. But he knows he is not sanctified because of two troubling scriptures. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one. Heb 2:11. For by one offering he has forever totally cleansed and perfected those who are made holy. Heb 10:14. He knows he is not one with Jesus, holy or perfected, and he had difficulty claiming sanctification, so he wants to believe he is justified even though he suspects he is not sanctified. Answer. Justification and sanctification are one. For Christ, who is the justification and sanctification, is one, and it is you who differ from him. Principle that the word of faith in the heart, spoken of in Romans 10:8, is the scriptures. But what did it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. That is the word of faith, which we preach, Rom 10:8. How could the scriptures be in your heart and mouth, but a living spirit can be evident in your heart and mouth? To support their false doctrines, the false prophets have to twist scriptures to ridiculous lengths. The Bible commonly distinguishes between scripture and the word. Click on each to see many scripture examples, as did Jesus plainly distinguish the two. And you do have not his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. John 5:38-39. Why was it called the word of faith? Because by faith you must obey what you hear. So you must believe who is speaking to you from within your heart with specific commands and teachings to you to be Jesus or the Spirit of Christ. This is to believe in Jesus. Answer: The apostle does not say so. Many had the scriptures and were under the law and knew not the word of faith, the gift of God. Principle, he said, the scripture leads into all truth. He thinks scripture is the spirit of truth, showing he doesn't understand the difference between a book and a spirit. A spirit is a living being. A book is only paper, ink, and cover, none of which are alive, all being dead. The man betrays his ignorance of the truth. For the truth is far more than what is in the Bible. To know all truth is to know God and Christ by revelation, to have met them, received their teachings, listened to them, watched them, conversed with them. The Bible has truths, but it points to the truth rather than being the truth. Answer: This is contrary to Scripture, for the Scripture said, "The Spirit of truth shall lead you into all truth." This is the promise of Christ and Christ's words. And Abraham and Enoch had their leader, to Christ and to God, before the Scripture was given forth. Oh, that ever men should be set up to be teachers that are so blind concerning the Scriptures and receive so many £1,000 a year for teaching. And the Jews had scriptures, and, as you Christians are now, were not led into all truth. Therefore are you all in heaps about them, wanting the Spirit to lead you into all the truths of them. Principle, he said, that Christ and the Father and the Holy Ghost are not one, but they are three, therefore distinct. Answer. This is the denying of Christ's doctrine, who said, I and my Father are one. And the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son, and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and they are all one and not distinct, but one in unity. What comes out from him leads the saints into all truth, that ever was given forth from the Spirit of truth, and so up unto God the Father of truth, and so goes back again from where it came. Principle. It is blasphemy to say the Son is one with the Father, and not distinct from him. I and my Father are one. John 10:30. Have I been with you such a long time, and you still have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you then say, show us the Father? John 14:9. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. John 14:11. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7. The blasphemy appears to be coming from the writer. Notice how he idolizes Scripture until it conflicts with his God, created from his selected subset of Scriptures, then he attacks what they say. Answer: The Father and the Son are one. The Son is in the Father, and the Father in the Son, so what is in him is not distinct from him, and they blaspheme that say the Son is not in the Father, and deny Christ's doctrine. Principle. He said, the Father is a distinct incommunicable being from the Son, and the Son a distinct incommunicable being from the Father, and the Holy Ghost a distinct incommunicable being from the Son. Answer, the Son is one, and in unity with the Father, and not distinct, but equal, and thought it not robbery. The Holy Ghost is in unity with the Son and the Father, which proceeds from them, and they are one in unity and not distinct. Your doctrine is dross, and you priests are not fit to judge in such things as they are too serious and too heavy for you. Principle. He affirmed that the Scripture is the power of God, and that the Scripture is the Gospel. This man thinks the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels, plural. There is only one gospel, and it is a mystery, which has been preached to or in every creature under the heavens. Since he doesn't know what the gospel is, he does not experience the power of the gospel. Since he doesn't believe in the light or even know the gospel, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of who do not believe, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine in them. 2 Cor 4:3-4. Answer: the power of God led those who spoke forth the scriptures, and the power of God is Christ, and the power of God endures forever. But scripture is writing and does not. And the gospel is the power of God, say the scriptures, and they do not say that the scripture is the gospel, for many had that and witnessed not the glad tidings. And so you are here distinct from the ministers of the gospel, and are not a minister of it, which is the power of God, but puts writings for it, which power of God was before writings were. Principle: he affirmed that the Father was the creator and not God. Answer: this is contrary to the scripture. For in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Father and God is one, the maker of all things. For God the Father that made the world, said the Apostle, F4:6, is one God and Father of all. Principle: he said that Christ was not his rule, but the scripture was his rule. Answer: I do believe you who Christ is not your rule. So life is not your rule, wisdom is not your rule, truth is not your rule. And so Christ not being your rule, you are ignorant of scriptures and do not know them. For he who is the substance of the scriptures is not your rule. So you know them not, neither are subject to them. When the Spirit communicates to a man, the Spirit has access to every experience, every sight, every sound, every word, every thought, every feeling that man has had in his life. And the Spirit uses those experiences to illustrate its teachings. Plus, the Spirit is aware of every man's language, dialect, and understanding of vocabulary. So the Spirit speaks to a man in precisely understandable language tailored exactly for that man. Plus, the Spirit speaks with inflections of love, kindness, firmness, etc. There is no comparison between reading the Bible, however wonderful it is, and hearing the infinite wisdom of God expressed to you in language, often accompanied by visions, that communicate precisely and instantly a message, teaching, or command. The Spirit of God teaches us how to live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. Realize the world changes and changes quickly. The Bible does not keep up with those changes, but the Spirit of God does, recognizing all the changes in man's environment and teaching him what to deny and how to live. Principle: he said that God justifies those who are not sanctified. Answer: he who is justified is sanctified, for he who justifies sanctifies. Principle: and another priest said that Christ was not the resurrection of the body. Answer: Christ is the resurrection and the life and the savior of the body, who brings the creature into the liberty of the sons of God. The priests of Lancashire, their principles. Priest Jackus, the foreman of them, said the letter and the spirit were inseparable. In one George Fox's trials where a priest stated that the letter and the spirit were inseparable, Fox stated that if the letter and the spirit are inseparable, then you could buy and sell the spirit of God. The judges joined in ridiculing that assertion of the priest by saying one could then carry the spirit of God around in their pocket. Further, if the letter and the spirit are inseparable, then why did Paul so clearly state the difference as Fox shows below? Answer: contrary to the apostle, 2 Cor 3:6, the letter kills and the spirit gives life. We are not ministers of the letter, but of the spirit. So the spirit that ends the letter was before the letter was, and men may have the letter and not the spirit and deny the ministers of the spirit. The apostle said they were one another's epistles written in one another's hearts, not with paper and ink, but with the spirit of the living God. So you are contrary to the ministers of Christ, and if everyone who has the letter has the spirit, why do you need to teach? Your teachings are at an end, for the Spirit will open to you the scriptures. The professor's principles at Westmoreland, Edward Briggs, the leader of them, said, principle, it was heresy and deceiving the people to tell people to believe in the power of God. Here is a perfect illustration of those having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Turn away from such people. 2 Tim 3:5. They know so little of God, now they have the audacity to deny the power of God. Particularly the power to cleanse, purify, perfect, and make holy, because they are impure, immoral, and greedy. They cannot believe anyone could be more spiritual than themselves, while they deny and attack any scripture that differs from their human understanding, without any teaching from God, which they also deny as possible. Answer. Then they must not believe in Christ, who is the power of God. And it is not heresy nor deceiving of people to told them believe in the power of God, which is Christ. But they are in the heresy and deceiving state that do not believe in the power of God, and are deceiving people, and keep them all in heaps under the power of the devil, and so to believe in that, which is the cause of people's destroying and persecuting one another. Without the power of God working in you, there is no victory, there is no overcoming. There are three sources to the power of God being released to purify you. 1, power in the true hope and gospel. 2, power in the inward cross of self-denial. And 3, the power in the name of Jesus. This power of God works in us and keeps us through faith to salvation, which is to be delivered from sin. Christendom today is without the cross and without the true hope. And so without the power of God, left only as a form, hollow shell, of the original Christianity, without the new life of the new creature, without holiness, wallowing in sin, boasting of their imperfection, perishing, whose end is destruction. For without the power of God released to change a man, his heart remains full of sin and unacceptable to God, whatever his lips may say in the form of worship. The true hope is detailed in John 14 and John 17 with commentary and footnotes. This writing is to show you how to carry the inward cross of self-denial with obedience to his spoken and heard words while meditating on the name of Jesus. The combination of all to access the changing, infinite power of God to work in you, cleansing you, purifying you, delivering you from all sin, and bringing you into union with God into his kingdom, while on earth and then forever. Principle. And others of the professors said that God had no hand in working out his salvation. Then he only has a presumed salvation from reading, like the Pharisees who thought they could find eternal life in the scriptures. This man thinks he has found salvation in the scriptures. Salvation only occurs by a series of revelations and resulting obediences. He doesn't understand faith. Faith is by hearing and revelation too. His faith and salvation are authored by reading and presumption. Instead, they need to be authored by revelation from Jesus Christ. He is confusing the word of God to be scripture instead of Christ in this scripture, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and lasts forever. 1 Peter 1:23. It is Christ, the Word of God, that creates the new birth of man, not the Bible. The new birth is a mighty work, creating an entirely new creature, with all old things, including sin, having passed away. A book cannot do this. Answer. This is contrary to Scripture, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And God is the author of salvation, who sent his Son into the world to be a leader, a captain, a teacher, and a redeemer, and a covenant. And there is no name by which men must be saved, but by this name. Ellett and Crabbe's principle, who are Baptists, principle that it was blasphemy for anyone to say he was justified by a Christ within him, and that if they should look to a light within, they should not have peace an hour. Answer. If Christ is not within you to justify, you are reprobates, for he is both justification and sanctification, and you looking at the light within, it will not let you have peace, but will let you see your works, actions, deeds, thoughts, and words which you have acted and spoken. Now the saint's peace is in the light which is within, for the light is Christ, the covenant of God. Priest Fowler of Reading, his principle. Principle, he said, that the scripture was the foundation of foundations. Answer. Here you have thrown out Christ, who is the tried stone and the sure foundation, and not the scripture. But the scriptures declare of it by the prophets and the apostles, and no other foundation can any man lay but what is laid, Christ Jesus. And you have laid another foundation, and so are contrary to the prophets and apostles, and your work will come into the fire. For God laid the foundation of the waters, which is not scripture. God laid the foundation, so that all men in the lost state, all the sons of Adam that are in the transgression, might come to build upon him the foundation, Christ Jesus. When wise men are turned backward, and the soothsayers and enchanters are gone mad, and the chaff scattered, and all makers of trades of Christ and the apostles' words, Babel and the builders fall, the foundation of God, Christ Jesus, remains, they who are built on him are sure and remain. Principle, priest Goodgroom and the priest of Ware affirmed and said, the scriptures were both the writings and the things signified. Answer. By this the scripture is Christ, and God and spirit and life and savior and devil and hell and error and blasphemy by your principle and doctrine, which is all false. For the scripture is not error, nor blasphemy, nor heaven, nor hell, nor Christ, but declares of these things. How have you led people in the ditch, you blind guides? They are wallowing in their sins in the mire, and crying out of them, and then you tell them they shall never be made free from them while they are upon earth, making a trade of saints' words. Principle. That Christ justified persons, excluding and setting aside the new birth and work of sanctification. Answer. Justification sets not aside the work of sanctification, nor the new birth, but is one with it. For justification is sanctification. For they who are justified, it is by Christ, who is the sanctifier, and they who are in him, witness the new birth. For as many as receive him, Christ, who enlightens everyone that comes into the world. As many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. And those who hate the light which they are enlightened with, this is their condemnation. For this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Principle that the letter is the word, and denies that any were converted by a light within. Answer. The principle of God has been transgressed within, so comes unconversion and going from God, and the higher power added upon the transgressor. The law and they who had it had the types, figures, and shadows which made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, which hope is Christ within. And none are converted to God out of types, figures, and shadows, out of transgression, out of Adam's state in the fall, and know the renewing of the inward man, life and immortality come to light, but as they come to know the light within, Christ, who is the way to God. And he who is in him is in conversion, translation, and regeneration, in a new life serving God. And the scripture or letter is not the word, Christ is the word. And they that had the letter killed him who was before the letter was, who were the blind priests and Pharisees, who you are like. Principle. That Christ justified sinners as sinners. Answer. Christ justifies them as they have been sinners and come from it in the faith, for by faith are they justified. And faith purifies them from their sin, but they who hate the light which Christ has enlightened them withal are condemned by it. And that is the world's condemnation, the light, in which light the saints witness their justification and see Christ the author of their faith. Lamb in the City of London, the Baptist's teacher and some of his company, their principles as follows. Principle. He affirmed that the scripture was the kingdom of heaven and that the scripture was the light of the Lamb. Answer. The kingdom of heaven is within people, as in Luke 17:20-21. And the Pharisees had scripture and knew not the kingdom of heaven within them, but were gazing for it without them. As you are gazing without and say, the scripture is it, when the scripture does but declare of it and tells people it is within them and said, Christ is the light, and the scripture is a declaration of it. Principle, two of the Baptists said, that the light which enlightens everyone that comes into the world is a natural light, and Christ was a natural man. Answer. The light which enlightens everyone that comes into the world is Christ the covenant of God, which was before the sun and moon and stars were, which were made by him, which are natural lights. And Christ is not a natural man, nor was not. For a natural man receives not the things of God, but they are foolishness unto him, and the things of God Christ did receive, and they were not foolishness unto him. Principle. Two Baptists affirmed, the Quakers denied the scriptures because they did not speak with a book in their hands. Answer. This is ignorance, for a man may speak the scripture and have never a book in his hand, though he does not name chapter and verse, which are set up by men's wits, for the spirit that gave them forth did not set them in a frame to please men's wills withal. And the Quakers do not deny the scriptures, because they do not tell people chapter and verse and hold a book in their hand, but are come into what it speaks of, into what cannot be shaken. And here the blind ignorance of the teacher appears, who can get no farther than the chapter and verse and book in the hand. And this is like the horse which can find the pasture again when he has been there. So when the teacher has seen chapter and verse, he can find it again. This is not like them who gave forth the scriptures, which they learned of God, and what they had received of God, afterwards recorded, which now you and the priests fall out about, and are in heaps, and have no unity with it nor God, nor one with another, and would tear one another's flesh to pieces about it, and here your spirits are tried. William Greenhill, priest of Stepney, who makes a trade of the scripture, his principle as follows. Principle, The scripture is the divine word and wisdom of God. Answer. You have thrown out Christ in this and put scripture in his place and given the scripture his name, who is the word, as in the revelation, whose name is called the word of God, who is the wisdom of God, and this the scripture testifies of as in the Corinthians, John, and the revelations. Principle. William Stanley, a tutor to children, said, that some had a privilege to sin, and yet were free from the condemnation of the law by the sufferings of Jesus. Answer. But none have a privilege to sin from God, but from the devil, for it is contrary to the law of God. For the law does not tolerate any such thing, nor the Son of God, who is made manifest to destroy the devil and his works, and to condemn sin in the flesh. So no one has a privilege to commit sin but from the devil, and there is no privilege to sin from God. Christ paid the penalty of sin of all men. Christ is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. But to be saved is to be delivered from sin, and until Christ has destroyed the sin in you by his grace, you have not been saved. You can be delivered from sin in this life by the purification process of repentance to truth by grace, or you go into the next life, banned from heaven, sent to a part in the lake of fire to be rid of all evil. The fact that no type of sin is tolerated by God is clearly spelled out for all by Paul in several passages. Click to see. A book called The Relation of the Quakers Shaking. Those whose names are to it are John Gilpin, Thomas Craster, Thomas Sands, John Archer, Edwa. Turner, Priest Walker. Who are like unto Jans and Jambers who resist the truth, being men of corrupt minds, who blaze abroad in the nation to make truth odious and to possess the hearts of people, by means of some that turn from truth. First, John Gilpin, who was made by truth to confess his sin and had openings, and then turned from the truth again, to the persecutors, this Gilpin was these men's convert, who were most of them the greatest persecutors in the North. And after John Gilpin had turned from the people called Quakers to these men whose names are to the book, he turned drunkard, and being drunk, a warrant was granted out for him by a justice of the peace. And yet these men whose names are to this book styled this man one of their high converts, but their reward will be according to their works. Principle. John Gilpin said, while he was with the Quakers, he never found such effects among the ministers of England as he did among the Quakers of the discovery of his sin, in particular of his covetousness, which had a great long root in him. And all these men whose names are in the book term this of the devil, and this is their judgment, because John Gilpin ran out in his imaginations. Therefore, what discovers to a man all his sins and his covetousness is of the devil. Oh no, my friends, you have wrong judged, and you will fail at last in what you have judged and what you have justified. And what discovers your sin and filth and covetousness, what discovers the devil, who is the author of it, is the light and life of Jesus Christ. And so instead of saying the Quakers are shaking, you are shaking yourselves, and your foundation made known, not to be the foundation of Jesus Christ, the light that discovers sin. And when the true thing did convince and work in John Gilpin, then his imaginations ran out. And you and he call it delusion to hearken to the voice within, and yet you and John Gilpin say, that he was in some measure raised to believe that God would deliver him, and yet it is delusion to hearken to the voice within. Answer, what confusion is here among you and your convert? Does any believe or come to deliverance or faith, but he who hears the light within, and who hears the voice within, that bears witness within? Does not he who believes hearken to the witness in himself, and has he not it there? And is not faith in the heart? And is any deliverance known, but what is known from that within? And thus you poor deluded creatures are glad to trust in lies and make them your refuge. Click to see the many scriptures testify to God being the one that searches your heart to reveal the secret sins of your heart. Principle, he said, he began to consider how he had offended God by his neglect of the use of external means, reading, hearing, and prayer, and rejecting the revealed will of God in his word, and hearkening to the voice of God only within. Answer. Are reading and praying in the Spirit external means? Is this your judgment, all you priests and teachers and great professors, found in this book? Can any pray but in the Spirit and read the Scriptures so as to know them again but in the Spirit? Is not such prayer and reading by that which is eternal? Can any man know the revealed will of God and his word but by the Spirit? Is not the Word in God? Is not Christ the Word? His name is called the Word of God. And can any know these things but by the voice within? His voice is the Spirit of the Father speaking in believers, the saints, which led them to speak forth the Scriptures. So when that voice was neglected, then was John confused, as you all are now that speak against it. so that whatsoever filth and dirt you run into, you will father it upon the voice within or the light and Christ within. But you are comprehended and seen, who are now flown to those external means you tell people of, and that your prayers and reading are external. We do believe you, who are all out of the Spirit. But if ever any of you come to know God, and true praying in the Spirit, you will deny your principle. And we do believe your means are external, and your prayers external without the Spirit of God. This Gilpin, who had been thus a covetous and grievous sinner, whom the Lord smote that he came to be almost a distracted man, after he had gotten a little ease from under the judgment, his flight being in the winter, he goes to the priests and professors, who are here mentioned in the book, enemies of all righteousness, and quickly turns a drunkard. Then a justice of the peace granted a warrant to set him in the stocks, and so he passed away about 30 miles off to Caseby. And this is Gilpin's Lord he fled in winter, not to the mountain, Christ, but to alcohol, who was convicted, by the truth, of his covetousness and his sin, who ran into his imaginations, whose latter end is worse than his beginning. This is the convert of these many persecuting professors and teachers, who to their shame have published it, which comes atop of their own heads, and truth is clear, and filth is wiped and wiping away, and the refuge of lies is flying away that people shall not make them their refuge. Those persecuting professors and priests take occasion to speak of one James Milner, in whom the Lord did open true prophecies and mighty things to him, but in some things his mind ran out, and that he condemns. And yet these wicked men will go tell the nation of it, so what will they have more of a man but his life? For abundance they have cast into prison. And again, these persecuting professors and priests have published in one of their books to the world of one Hugh Bice Brown of Buggery, who had some time come to the Quakers' meetings, but was turned from them, and dared not meet them, for he had been judged by the Quakers, before such things were heard of him by them. And yet these filthy men will vilify truth with such things, that they might make it odious to the world. But the sober people see all these accusations are only due their envy. Again, these persecuting professors and teachers have put in their book, that they have published to the world, one Cotton Crossland, and they say he was a professed Quaker, and that he knew higher things than the ministers, and that he hung himself, and he was buried in a cross way, and a stake was driven through him, that passengers might take heed of quaking. This man I saw once at a meeting, and another time in the rude multitude. The first time he said little, and the second time he spoke something among the rude multitude, which the Quakers did not own, and he raised a grievous lie against George Fox, claiming that Fox had said he was Christ, which was on a market day among the market people. From George Fox's journal, describing the incident above, Fox speaking. To one meeting came a great man, a priest, and many professors. But the Lord's power came over them all, and they went their way peaceably. There came a man to that meeting, who had been at one before, and raised a false accusation against me, and made a noise up and down the country, reporting that I said I was Christ, which was utterly false. When I came to Gainsborough, where a friend had been declaring truth in the market, the town and market people were all in an uproar. I went into a friendly man's house, and the people rushed in after me, so that the house was filled with professors, disputers, and rude people. This false accuser came in and charged me openly before the people that I said I was Christ, and he had witnesses to prove it. This accusation put the people into such a rage that they could barely keep their hands off me. Then was I moved of the Lord God to stand up upon the table, in the eternal power of God, and tell the people that Christ was in them, except they were reprobate sin still lives in them, and that it was Christ, the eternal power of God, that spoke in me at that time unto them, not that I was Christ. And the people were generally satisfied, except the false accuser, a professor, and his own false witnesses. I called the accuser Judas, and I was moved to tell him that Judas's end should be his, and that that was the word of the Lord and of Christ through me to him. The Lord's power came over all and quieted the minds of the people, and they departed in peace. But this Judas shortly after hanged himself, and a stake was driven into his grave. From Matthew 27:5, then he Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hung himself. This was the third time that ever I saw him among any of the Quakers, and he told George Fox he had witnessed to prove it, and George Fox told him he was Judas, and he went away and after a while hung himself. And Christ in the male and female he spoke of was Christ the seed, and the seed was Christ, but he did not speak it as of a creature. And here is the priests and professors Quaker, who turned against the Quakers and would have betrayed them. But quaking we own, and trembling, which you all must do, before you know your salvation wrought out with fear and trembling. And many lies you have gathered up together and stuffed up your book withal, and make them your refuge, and think the world will take refuge under them, but alack for you. People begin to see it was nothing but envy in you. And it was known that Gilpin was never long a Quaker, though the devil was made to tremble in him. And the Lord will reward you according to your work. The witness in your conscience shall answer it in you all in the day of your judgment. Thomas Collier, Nathaniel Strange, Thomas Glassies, who call themselves servants of Christ in their paper to all the churches, called Saints Through the Immortal Seed. The churches and saints who are of the immortal seed have viewed your paper and your principles in it as follows. Principle, you say, you have taken upon you to speak to God, though dust and ashes, and yet you said, you are saints through the immortal seed. Answer. You have forgotten what you have written before in your preface, who have taken upon you to speak to God, though dust and ashes, yet say you are saints through the immortal seed. Such as are saints through the immortal seed are not dust and ashes, for the immortal seed lives and abides and endures forever. Principle. You say, you have been bewailing congregation iniquity, family iniquity, personal iniquity, and close iniquity. For by your search you have found Zion full of unsoundness from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, all putrefied sores, and now you call upon them that tremble at the word of God to come to you. Answer, you have cast them out that tremble at the word of God, and have made them your byword, and written and printed against them, but the Lord has appeared to their glory. And what kind of saints are you, with your close iniquity, family iniquity, congregation iniquity, and personal iniquity, and Zion from the head to the foot all full of putrefied sores, and no soundness from the head to the foot? Now do you call to those who tremble at the word of God whom you have cast out, whom in scorn you have called Quakers? Will you now turn Quakers? Do you begin to be ashamed? Principle. Oh, come and sit down in the dust and weep bitterly before the Lord for your abomination. You have, as it were, but played with God, you have not trembled at his presence. You have been wanton before him, and have forgotten what manner of men and women you were, and thought no more of your prayers. Oh, how often have you mocked God? How does the world canker your affections, while you have been asleep in the lap of this Delilah? Answer, you have even shamed your church. Do you call them saints through the immortal seed, and say they mock God and are asleep in the lap of this Delilah, and that the world has cankered their affections? You have shamed your church, calling them saints through the immortal seed, and yet they must weep bitterly for their abominations and sit down in dust and ashes. Are these like saints, sanctified ones of the immortal seed, or like transgressors, the unsanctified ones, not worthy to have the name saints? For such as mocked God and were in abominations and must lament for it, were not sanctified, nor were they come to know the immortal seed. But the saints and the immortal seed reigned over all mockers and over such as were cankered with the world and mocked God and were in their abominations. They came to reign over all that in the wisdom of God, with which they ordered the creation to his glory. You call yourselves servants of Christ. If your people be cankered and mockers of God, and in the abominations, you have labored in vain, and this shows you have not profited them at all, but are false teachers. Principle, you say you have reigning abominations, cruelty to servants and children, exacting labors, taking no time to counsel them, and have mourned that you have had so great a hand in this trespass, and not borne testimony against your ministers. Answer, this has been your condition, your fruits have declared it. Therefore it is time for you to repent and amend your lives and doings and turn to the Lord, for while you have time, prize it, for you who have stood against the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world are not of the church of Christ, for none come to it but through the light. Principle, though slavish fear had stopped our mouths, until the mouth of iniquity has almost devoured the poor church of Christ. Answer. The church of Christ is the pillar and ground of truth. It cannot be devoured by the mouth of iniquity, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But through your mouth of iniquity, enmity, and envy, you have almost slain yourselves who are turned against the truth, who have not been slavish for it, but against it, mad in your blind zeal. The mouth of iniquity has been open in you, with all the world against the truth, but by the truth in a great measure it is stopped. Principle, these evils have been so strong that they have wrested all weapons out of the hands of saints and ministers that have been formed against them. Answer. These have been pitiful weapons that you ministers and saints have had in your hands, that the evil wrested them out. They have been carnal, not spiritual. For the spiritual weapons, the evil one cannot wrest out of the hands of saints and ministers of God. But by them, his holds and high places and spiritual wickedness are plucked down. The evil dares not come near the saints' weapons, which are spiritual. Principle. You say, we desire no longer to rest in a testimony of words, but to take an effectual course, that sin and sinners may be purged out of the house of God. We desire the church would set some days apart wherein they may bewail iniquity and pollution, that ministering brethren would, without respect of persons, from house to house, night and day, bear their testimony to fly from those abominations. The one thing they can get passionate about is to oppose the Quakers, so much so they propose going house to house, for which in the past they only went to collect their tithes. Answer, the church of God you know not, which is the pillar and ground of truth, which Christ purchased with his blood, without spot or wrinkle or blemish, and the house of God you know not, who talk of purging it, which is established atop of all the mountains. And all your abominations, and pollutions and respecting of persons, are out of both the church and the law, and you are transgressors of it. And it is time to begin to stir up yourselves and turn from the evil of your ways, to Christ the light, who has enlightened you, that you may bear testimony against yourselves and your ministers, and against lightness and abominations in your own families. And do not say it is the house of God, and the church of God, but among yourselves, and we do believe your testimony is but the testimony of words, you who have denied the light and so denied the power. Principle, they may deliver themselves from the blood of souls, having declared the whole counsel of God. Answer, can dust and ashes and cankered ones and pollutions and abominations, can such declare the whole counsel of God? Such are out of it, for they who come into the counsel of God declare that, and come out of pollutions and from being cankered with the world, to him by whom the world was made, who is perfect, and makes them perfect who declare his perfect will and counsel. Principle, another evil we thought to have spread before you, but wanting opportunity, we shall now omit, and that from charred, we have labored in vain, what has been brought forth has been to little purpose. Answer, this you may speak to your shame, and you show forth your own nakedness that you have labored in vain, and what you have brought forth has been to little purpose. In this, the Church of Christ believes you, who are they who have beaten the air? And why do you print abroad that there is another evil among you which you have not laid open? Had you not better have held your tongues, except you had mentioned it? Is not this Ham's spirit who lays open one another's nakedness to the world in print? But how can you do otherwise who have denied the light that has enlightened every man that comes into the world, which comes from Christ Jesus, and so want the covering? And as for all your dirt and dross and dung, which is not worth mentioning in your epistle and confused words, which you have set forth, thinking it to your glory, but it is to your shame. Had you been in the life that gave forth the scriptures, which the saints that were of the church were in, you would have covered your nakedness, and would not have said that pollution was in the church and in the house of God. But for all these things you are judged, you and your epistle, and your words to be unsavory. They are judged by the life of God that gave forth the scriptures, and by those who are of the house of God, and the church of God, where no pollution nor canker is, nor comes. The witness in your conscience shall answer it in the day of the Lord. Continue to next rebuttals. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.